Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
New season. New place to watch the Premier League in Canada. New managers, new players, new kits. But things got gross pretty quickly for Erik ten Hag's Manchester United. But don't worry, United fans. We're here to brighten your day. This is This Just In on Footy Prime. We now have matches to talk about. I'm Brendan Dunlop. Happy to talk about said matches with Craig Forrest, Jimmy Brennan, James Sharman, who looks as comfortable as ever, reclined in the new studio space in which you do live streams for halftime and post-match shows on the Footy Prime YouTube channel. How you doing, buddy? You look very comfortable.
I'm very comfy, yeah. Exciting times for us, you know. Our first halftime and post-match show, something we decided to do yesterday. So, yeah.
Actually, if you read the if you read the thread, I pitched us on Tuesday. So,
did you?
Yeah. You don't scroll up. Like, you go to bed at 7:45 at night and you never scroll up in the WhatsApp group.
Really, often I wake up and there's like 18 messages from you idiots from like, you know, like on ungodly hours, like 9 o'clock and stuff. And I'm not reading those.
Hey, Sharms, have you ever woke up with a smile on your face, or are you just fucking miserable all the time?
Yeah, when he's had a wet dream.
Yeah. Oh, what was that?
No, even then he's miserable. Even at the peak of his, which is amazing.
Yeah, then he's like, oh, I'll go clean the sheets now.
You know, I got to do laundry. Got to get my underwear cleaned.
The dream centers around a hate fuck, obviously.
Oh, my God. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, all.
You know what I noticed? We had Deitch on last week, right? And Deitch used to be the miserable one, right? That was his niche. And we knew him as the miserable one. And I don't know how it became me. I'm not that miserable a person, am I?
Well, you're about the same, but he was just kind of...
I think he was more consistent. Like, remember, we called him the quarter to five guy. There's something that was going to blow up for Deitch. He was going to find something to complain about.
I think it's just people don't expect you to be as miserably British as you can be. Whereas with him, because of the accent, his look, you can just kind of expect it more, right? Like, no one looks at you and says, oh, you could have been a character in Snatch.
Yeah, but he looks like a movie villain, doesn't he?
But Dickio looks that way, right?
He does.
Yeah. Well, he's in California. You should drive down south, if you could find it, and try out for a couple movies.
Yeah, no, like Vinny Jones.
He loves Northern California. Mm-hmm. He's a big outdoorsman now. He's at Lake Tahoe. He's, what was he telling us about? Paddleboarding. All of these hilarious things for someone of his height.
Yeah, he doesn't prepare very well, does he?
Well, we're a few minutes into this show, and we've not said anything about football, so you can argue that we don't prepare well either. But Sharms, yeah, sorry that you feel like you've been, what was it? You say you feel like you've been hate-fucked? That's exactly how Manchester United fans feel after watching their season opener at Old Trafford. Manchester United 1, Brighton 2. Pascal Gross. I mean, there's not another word. But if you're a headline writer, a newspaper headline writer, like, this is how we save the paper industry. Like, we need Pascal Gross scoring more goals against United. They're just going to have a field day. Let me run on that for days, Charms.
You know, some people, you know, Gross, the actual, rather than two S's, it's got that kind of weird, that weird thing on it.
So actually, it's an actual German letter. When you put two S's together, it looks like a B without a closed bottom. Yes.
Yeah. But I noticed when people use that on Twitter to talk about Pascal Gross, they're just arrogant dickheads, aren't they? On his shirt, it says SS. It's G-R-O-S. There's no weird curly thing on his shirt. It's Pascal Gross.
Just because you couldn't find a little way to do it.
That's it. Also, too, I know that as well. Yeah, I know that. Is it called a scharf? Scharf?
A shot?
You mean a shart?
That's music.
Are you talking about a shart or a shart?
are we reading music here?
I don't think sharts are music shots, unless you.
No, well, it can be musical though, Jimmy.
What's that?
It can be musical.
Yeah, they use the tuba with it, don't they? The shirt.
He plays for Newcastle. I got him on my fantasy team. Fabian Sharp, right?
Yeah, he plays alongside Jizz.
Yeah, Jizz Wankdorf?
Jizz Hornkamp?
Yeah. Jizz Hornkamp.
Yeah. What has happened to this podcast today?
Jesus Christ. Jizzed all over your forest, I tell you that much.
Good start, boys.
Yep.
Fucking hell. Do you want to just get to Insigne and Bernardeschi too, who dance all over the place or what? Hey, this show is gross.
Bring us back.
Yeah. Back to the question. Yes, it was a very good performance by Pascal Gross and I thought by Danny Welbeck as well. I thought they were outstanding. Excellent. But let's be honest, the story was how utterly shite United were. In that first half in particular, like just appallingly bad. And if you're Erik ten Hag, you're thinking, what have I got myself into? This is going to be a long rebuild because that's just not good enough.
No, hey, but let's give credit to Brighton though. How quick did they move that ball around that park?
Fuck, they were good.
Oh my god, man, their movement, the way they were everything was crisp, just crisp passes, one-two touch.
And even when they were under pressure, and it seemed like United was going to bag two, they still were able to play their game. And I thought they looked confident. They certainly didn't look like a team that you'd expect to finish 15 places lower in the table.
It was good football, I'll tell you that for free. And I tell you, and if you're on, if Man United fans are honest, they would give credit to Brighton and say, absolutely, they played beautiful football today.
Oh, and their pressing was excellent too.
Oh, Jesus.
That game is exactly why Sharma was saying this 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, like, why isn't Graham Potter considered for a big job? And why wasn't Graham Potter considered for United? And there were some people writing about tactically how they play, what he's done with Brighton, how he'd be a better fit than someone who has no Premier League experience.
His name's Graham. That's why.
That's probably it. Well, you had a great tweet about Erik ten Hag, how he looked like a tech billionaire who does TED Talks occasionally, but it charges an astronomical fee, so he doesn't do that many. You forget that he's about.
It's a Miller pop for sure. He does.
Yeah, Graham Potter looks like he might do TED Talks as well, but it's in like other places like Burnley. Or like
the local Legion in Burnley. Yeah.
Playing darts on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Half price pints, 90p.
Graham. But he'll get his chance, right? He'll get his chance, I would hope, because the next big job comes available. I mean, surely you have to look at him. And if you're Brighton, you're very concerned, but they must have a contingency in place because he'll get scooped up at some point. What he's doing, it's one game, we know that, but they lost their two best players this offseason, like key players. Basuma in particular, just brilliant, right, last year. Mm-hmm. And to, it's one game in, but to have that performance just shows that he's got every guy on the same page there.
That was the best I've seen Welbeck for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Confident. Mm. Very confident.
Paul Scholes said in the post-match show, and I was surprised, I thought it was a bit harsh. He said that loads of potential, bags of potential, just not able to reach it. Actually, excuse me, it wasn't Scholes. I think it was Michael Owen that had said that. And that, injuries or whatever, but just not able to be the player you think he could be. But on his day, which he had one of those on Sunday.
That's it. I would say that's a pretty good job at what he is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He needed to do it more often to be able to maintain staying at Man United.
Exactly. Just didn't score enough goals.
Yeah, right. And there's a bunch of guys there at Man United who go, I don't know if they're doing enough now. And
yeah, Jesus.
This is Christ. I mean, this is, again, you're looking at that going, this is a long process. This is not an easy fix.
But yeah, this is great. We're 7 minutes into this, and you've not allowed me to mention Cristiano Ronaldo, who was stole all the headlines before the match kicked off, but wasn't able to steal the headlines when he finally got on the pitch.
Do you know what, though? When he came on, I was talking ahead of Jimmy on the phone, and I was just like, if anybody could turn this around, like, it would not surprise me if they did it. If they did it at all. Yeah. I don't know what the odds were, actually. You guys, I think
plus 1,400. They were plus 14.
Point, yeah. 1400. So that's what, 1,400, 14 to 1, I guess, right?
That's 14.
It was actually, it was still 14 to 1 when they went 2-1 as well. I put a couple of bucks on at that point.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they had a chance then. Momentum started changing a little bit, didn't it? They had a good spring in a step, and I was like, woof.
They had a great spell, right? Like, they really were applying pressure. There was some great balls coming through. Rashford didn't look too sharp. He looks like he's in his head again, I think.
Yeah.
I thought the energy definitely increased when Ronaldo was there. And I thought he looked okay. A couple balls over his head, but he seems primed for.
I thought Man United as well. When you watch him, it was, you know, they were chasing shadows. They were second to everything. And then when they did get it, it was like panic mode. Total panic.
In that stretch too, though. First half was horrendous. First half was terrible. First half was Ollie's United. As bad as they looked last season at any point, that was the first half on Sunday.
Yeah. Yep. Do you not think it was a message maybe that Ten Hag was sending to his owners when he starts Eriksen up top? And you got the highest goal score in the history of world football on the bench, and you're playing a midfielder as a center forward. Jesus. To me, it's a
backfired, didn't it?
Yep.
I tweeted there was a chance that Christian Eriksen had, and he just took an extra step, and then he kicked it right at the keeper off balance. Do you remember that, Craig, in the first half?
Yeah.
Christian couldn't do that, but Cristiano would have put that in for sure. And then he didn't come on at halftime. He came on in the 52nd minute. Like, what? What changes in a manager's head, Jimmy, where at halftime you think, nope, that's not the right move?
No,
you're
just
out there a few minutes and you're like, oh, I'll do it now.
It was quick. I mean, I looked at it and went, Jesus, you know, if you're changing after 5 minutes, 6 minutes, then do it at halftime.
Yeah.
And normally when you're in there and you're having your chat, because I'm sure he went in there and had a pop at a lot of players, right? Try to get them going. And more or less saying what you do is you have a tendency to say, okay, we'll give you 15 minutes to get this ship right. And if you don't do it after 15 minutes, then we're changing. But for him to do it after 6 minutes or whatever it was, I was like, Jesus Christ, why do it at halftime? Because you haven't given the players a chance to settle in and get going again.
Well, I think he really wanted that to be his, like, the lineup that was going to work.
Yeah.
And he, like you said, I think I agree with you. He would have said, give you 15, and then he only needed 7 minutes to go, oh, fuck this. Like, they're coming off. Yeah. Fred was terrible.
Yeah, Fred's going to take a lot of flack, that's for sure.
I don't know what he's doing his hair either. What's his hair? I don't know what's going on there.
It's not working for him, is it?
I don't think so.
These young people and their hairstyles.
If he had it going backwards instead of forward, he'd be faster. I think it's catching up in the wind in a little bit.
It's a parachute, like how I run?
Yeah.
I'm working against him.
I mean, it's a work of art, but it's not. I don't think it works.
You better be good, I think, and be good on a regular basis to have that kind of hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. You can't just show up with like world class hair and play like a Dirk Tracker. It doesn't work that way.
You know what they say sometimes with footballers, right? You look the part, right? Nice haircut, good uniform, socks up.
Oh, boots. Jimmy, it's okay. You did. So that, you always.
So that even if you have a stinker, they go, fuck, at least you look good.
Yeah. That's why I try so hard, guys. That's why I try so hard. I was doing the socks over the knee at charity tournaments years before guys were doing it.
Yeah. You were. See, you but because the thing is, you don't want them to go, he looked like a cock and he played like shit. Like, at least he looked brilliant. He looked amazing, but he played really bad, and he played like a cock.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm the opposite, though. I always like, you know, shirt untucked, socks down to my ankles, because I don't want there to be any expectation. Because there's been times, and B will tell you, you know, you're playing in a match, a charity match, or a, you know, wherever it is, and people recognize you. Oh wow, he talks about. He must be pretty good. And then they see you, and they see your first touch, and they go, wow, that is not what I expected. So I try and look as bad as possible physically. just to kind of, you know, in unison with my play itself.
You don't have to work. You don't have to work very hard for that.
No, I don't. It comes pretty naturally to me.
And I was counting all the negative things. So you've said four things. And you're 3 for 4 for negativity. Literally, I'm just like, so
negativity tracker.
Yeah, the ghost of Christmas Dickio is still hanging over you.
Hey, I gave Graham Potter a love.
Yeah, I think that you'd be a very imbalanced human if you didn't have some moments of clarity and calmness. But you still are so prone to be miserable. You know what I mean?
I really don't think I am. I mean, you sound like my wife right now.
I don't know. It's okay, Mr. Mizrahi.
Look, Sharms, let's look at it this way, okay? There's 6 of us on this podcast. 5 of us say you're miserable. Your wife says your wife says you're miserable. Like, surely you gotta go, yeah, maybe they're right. Because they all keep saying I'm fucking miserable.
Well, he shows up at these events and he's under so much pressure because they think he's gonna be a decent player and he's shit. Yeah. You know what? You know what you gotta do? You just gotta show up there and go, I pulled a hammy or something like that. And
I usually do that at some point in the first time.
Or don't go.
Yeah, he usually does, but it's actually legit and it's not a hammy, it's a metatarsal or it's an Achilles.
Break or something. Yeah, it's usually a good injury. No, I think I do need some self-reflection, apparently.
I've got to look at the mirror. Is it doing podcast from home that made you think that, or what?
After this, I'm going to go in the bathroom and look at the mirror for a couple of hours, I think.
Have a self-massage.
Charms, I'll tell you what to do, right? You go down to the local clinic, buy, you know, when you break your foot, you get the boot? Buy a boot. And then any gig, anything that's coming on, stick the boot on. Oh, fucking dumb my ankle again.
Yeah, hey, sorry.
Look at this toe is gnarly old mess right now. So that itself, I can just show that big old bulbous arthritic knuckle. And people say, yeah, you can't kick anything with that right now. So that's what I'll do.
Yeah, it's you're right, though, the weight of expectation. See, I learned very early that if I wanted to keep playing football, I just had to tell people in advance. Yes, I show up and I look great, but I know I've got like 10 minutes to let you think that I'm good, and then I'll be a touch or two, and then I can just take the piss out of myself for the rest of the game. Now I'm at that weird point where I have people like Sharms that compliment me and say, you're not good, but you're not actually as poor as you say you are.
No. You know what? It must be worse, though, for ex-pros who you see them all the time. They pack the pounds on, and then they show up to a charity match out of the blue, and you go, wow, what happened? You know, that's got to be, I guess, you need some self-reflection at that point. That's for sure.
But we have 2 pros on the show, and Dickio being the third, who didn't
they look good
much
still.
At all. You guys said last week, right? You're very close to your playing weight.
Yeah.
And also, shout out to Dan Wong, who's been on this health kick since when, buddy? March? You look great, man.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
It's all seafood and seltzers? Like what? How did you get
it? It's a lot of more seltzers. It's basically staying away from I love beer, as we all know, but it's filling me up. I don't sleep well. Then I don't have a good next day. So it's about a lot of sleep, which isn't a problem for me because I love sleep. And you know what? The other thing was just moving. I've been walking. I've been Jimmy, we were chatting the other day. And he goes, yeah, I just did some push-ups and sit-ups. So I've been doing this 8-minute scientific workout where it's high intensity interval training. I think I told you guys that. I think I said it smoother this time too. And intermittent fasting. So I've lost a good 10 pounds and I told Jimmy, I want to lose another 10. So
that's amazing.
I want to be about 190. Is where I'd like to be.
Hey, that's Jimmy, could you imagine showing up at a club and going, you know, Gaffer, I've got this 8-minute routine that is like scientific.
Yeah. Tell you what,
I don't think we have to do this 4-hour training stuff.
Yeah.
We'll be 8 minutes. 10.
Yeah. It'd be like, yeah, just get on the line and go run, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And B, while you're saying such nice things, your hair is on point, my friend.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What's going on, fellas?
Unnecessary.
Wongers, you look like an Asian Kramer.
I do. Look
at that. It's going up. Oh, it looks awesome. Yeah. Look at you.
I wonder, though, when the point is going to change where Wonger has more gray hair than me, because it's got to be like this rapid gray must be coming for you at some point. But
it is. It's all in my bush.
I asked someone.
It's all downstairs. I've got a full white bush.
Holy shit!
You know what?
You don't manscape.
You know what's happened? The best way to describe what this happened to the show today. We've spent too much time together. We went for drinks yesterday at the Fubo event to watch Chelsea beat up on Everton, and then we did this halftime show and this post-game show on our YouTube channel and on Twitter for Man City West Ham. And then now it's just like all we're missing is beers.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy has one.
Jimmy does have one. Yeah. Smart play. Is that a real-sized pint glass, though?
That's a proper pint
glass. Proper pint. Yeah, fair.
Not that shit that we drank the other day. It was like going to the beer fest again with that little cup. Next time I'm going to bring my own pint glass to that show.
Yeah, I guess you should, buddy. I guess you should. Well, it was a real shit show at Old Trafford, I think. Any more points on that? Did you see that? Well, I just want to say that Wayne Rooney says Manchester United must let Ronaldo go, which I think is a bit of a bold and unnecessary comment from someone.
Because he probably wants to sign him.
Oh, Jesus.
It'll be a step up, wouldn't it? DC United.
Yeah, Ravel Morrison and Cristiano Ronaldo at DC United. Let's go. He's not actually going to come to MLS now. Do you think, Jimmy? No,
I don't think so. I think he's got his eye on the prize. I think he knows what he wants, but I can't see him coming to MLS unless all opportunities are closed. Then I think he's got to look at it. And I think then if he does go to MLS, there's going to be a story behind it. But I think he wants to stay in Europe.
I don't know what Rooney is doing, even putting something out like that. What's he got to gain by that?
That's what I mean.
It's like, weird.
It's strange.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, was he asked a question? I didn't see the comment, but was he asked a question in a press conference?
Usually are, right?
So is that
come from?
He could have said no comment, or he just addressed it, I wonder.
He probably thinks, it won't go outside of DC.
Sure. Naive.
He's got to realize you make a comment like that, that's, you know, it's going everywhere. It's going.
Yeah, it's a silly move by him. It's probably one of those as well where he said it, seen it come out and just went, oh, I should have shut my mouth. That was stupid.
Yeah, just say, you know, the club's dealing with whatever they're dealing with. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Yeah, they got to get things right. What's the point? I mean, they got enough Man United former players that are happy to stick the knife in, so...
Yeah, seriously. Here's the quote. This is from the Times. I think United should let Cristiano go. It's not that Ronnie can't play in a Ten Hag team. He can play in any team. I'm making him sound more Irish than I am, actually.
I'm not sure where you're going with that.
That was a shit one.
It's kind of Irish Scouse.
Yeah, maybe I'm not sleeping well enough. Yeah, he is Irish Scouse, though. That's pretty accurate, I guess. Maybe I'm too accurate. Ronnie will always score you goals. But my personal view is that United aren't ready to challenge for the title now. So the aim has to be to build a team that can win the league the next 3 or 4 years. You just got to plan for that.
Amazing. He played one game. One game. But he's right. That's the sad truth.
This, I should say, clarify, though, these comments were made before Manchester United's loss to Brighton from Wayne Rooney. But still, surprising comments from Rooney nonetheless.
I tell you, watch Chelsea still. They're just on the brink of selling Timo Werner back to Leipzig. So they do need another striker in that club. And it might not be Ronaldo, but we've discussed it before. There might be a fit there.
Yeah. Hey, I thought Everton was a little bit hard done by. I thought they played all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought they did okay.
Was that Chelsea not playing to their own level? Well, or you thought Everton played up?
I mean, look, you lose a match by a penalty and everybody thought, oh, yeah, Everton's going to get smashed here, aren't they? Mm. And I thought they were okay.
You know, the injury, really bad injury.
Ben Godfrey.
Yeah.
That ball, and I know what the linesman's thinking. He's thinking, okay, I'm going to leave my flag down just in case. That ball was 2 feet out of bounds when Pickford kicked it. Put your flag up, and that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Because then you're right. And he's on the microphone going, it's out. The referee picks it up, blows a whistle, and that injury doesn't happen.
Well, you put your flag up, but he's putting it down just in case. And it's like, sometimes they're so obvious.
Yeah.
And the offsides, really they do the same thing. And I get it, but sometimes they're so obvious. Put your flag up. Like, have some belief in yourself.
But anyway.
You okay, Jimmy?
What happened there, Jimmy?
I don't know. I just had a little giggle to myself. I don't know.
Sorry the boys felt the need to call you out on that. You could let that go. You're usually just smashing the mic in front of you, eating the microphone. No, it's because he's got the video game headset on. People have seen it now that we're on YouTube, that we're doing video content.
PSP, I'm going to play Rocket League after this.
Looks like you're about to win some esports championship. But then, that, as Sharms has explained, not a championship.
Right? Well, I just saw now for the first time, sorry, Dewsbury Hill's goal for Leicester today. That was a nice goal. Oof.
I didn't see a second of that match. I'm assuming that neither of you did either.
What's you know what? I went back.
Yeah, God, I watched the highlights. Yeah,
I watched the highlights too. That was a wonderful game.
What a goal! Yeah. Sorry, the 2-2 goal. Sorry, but for Brentford.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. De Silva. Amazing. What a goal.
86th minute.
Yeah.
That's
and fought back from 2-0 down is the big thing.
Huge result for your bees away.
Yeah. Right?
No, maybe losing Christian Eriksen's not the end of the world for you.
No, Mark. Quit. I was exactly thinking that. Like, this guy, I just wish the best for him. But, you know, goes to a disheveled Man U team. And I bet you the bees, that would be a fun bet. Do the Brentford bees go higher at the end of the year than Man United? Will they be higher in the standings?
I thought you were going to say, do the bees go in for Ronaldo before the end of the transfer?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I just think they're going to be – we already talked about this. It seems like they're one of those teams that will keep playing smart, keep building. Craig and I talked about this, where they'll build up slowly, do enough to stay in that mid-range, not to get relegated, and then kind of do what Leicester hopefully did a few years back, where they can actually, you know – Maybe game for a top six, and if they're lucky, a top four. Even
not
luckier,
a fucking chance.
What are you talking Wonger, about?
Jesus
right
Christ!
Wonger, that was a moment. That was a. Tell me, you just started watching football.
This
in the last
is what
years.
We you're hope for, is it not?
Oh my God! Well, I tell you what, you got a fan there.
Yeah.
And a sucker.
And
I hope for a Bugatti in my driveway tomorrow morning.
Top six, top four.
Is that the name of your dog with the big balls?
Yeah, Bugatti.
No, you know, it's a talk that where they are, that club, it's a constant battle, and it always will be against relegation because they're not rich. They're not owned by any, you know, oil state. And they have to be careful, but it's a constant gamble when you're bringing players in for £10 million or, you know, the players that none of the big clubs are going after, but you just hope that he turns into something that they can play. You see clubs do it all the time. I mean, that they do light it up in Holland and they take big chances and they come over, like Altidore when he came over to Sunderland for £12.5 million.
Sure.
You know, he's filled the net in Holland. That was that kind of risk that I think Brentford will constantly be doing, and they just hope that they hit it more times than they don't.
Second season syndrome too, right? It's a real thing.
For sure.
In football. And they were plummeting last year when they signed Eriksen, don't forget. They were plummeting straight to relegation. And then he turned them around. That's great. They lose him. So I haven't got too much optimism about the hopes. Thomas Frank's a smart coach, but, you know, they'll can him at some point and they'll bring in Bruno Lage will go to Brentford and they'll rotate chairs for a couple of years. They're those kind of managers, right? They're smart, but they're kind of like just musical chairs.
Yeah, they punch above their weight. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
They're in that tier of club that's made it to the top, but they're just kind of too small, you think, to truly sustain it for a long period of time. Like Huddersfield, I would put in the same category. Mm-hmm. Some people might argue Burnley, although Burnley fans would argue against me.
No, well, Burnley, absolutely. I mean, they're the smallest town that's ever played in the Premier League at 60,000. It's a tiny, tiny club. Do they have a lot of corporate support around Burnley? So,
yeah, honestly.
Did Burnley win this weekend in the Championship?
They won the first weekend, right? The opening match of the season last Friday.
Yeah.
You can give us a championship rundown update if you want. You want to four?
It's just Vincent Kompany's, obviously, his debut as a manager, right, in England.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, he's got a good squad because that parachute payment
is going to really help them over the next couple of years. So they got to make it count.
They'll be back. They'll
Otherwise, be back. You end up being Ipswich Town.
I knew so that they were.
They drew with Luton.
1-1, yeah, there you go.
Luton, who signed Canadian Premier League.
Pepple.
Calgary
Pepple.
Forward Pepple, yeah.
Did he feature? No, maybe.
Jimmy can tell us that. He's got the box score up in front of him.
Did they what? Sorry?
Did feature? Pepple
feature
Yeah, give me a sec here. I'm looking.
Made his move from Cavalry. One of four players in the last month, I think. I think four CPL guys since William Accio had that goal line clearance that went viral, or goal line denial that went viral.
It wasn't
including him. Four CPL guys have made a move to Europe. That's pretty amazing.
Had a call from an agent weeks ago about Pepple.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, there's lots of clubs looking at them. Man,
he had a pretty good tour over there, right? He went to Sheffield United after the Island Games, Jimmy. Pepple did. And I think was he at Forest as well? Did he have a trial at Forest? Was another club. The Blades were the first one.
I know he's at Blades.
He kind of made the rounds, and then he came back, I think, for the start of that third season in your Winnipeg.
And I know Stoke was interested as well.
Mm-hmm. He's English, right?
I think he's got two passports, but yeah, English-Canadian. Yeah, he's English-born, I think. You mentioned Burnley and players leaving, coming and going. I thought Cornet last year was one of the most underrated players in the Prem, and now he's at West Ham. Going up against front three that includes Erling Haaland, Jack Grealish, and Phil Foden, which is what the starting 11 came out. Craig, I thought, holy shit, I'm glad I'm not a West Ham defender or a Premier League defender facing that team.
Well, that's what Jimmy said too, and he played in the Premier League. Jimmy would have got booked in the first 5 minutes, and I said, then you'd hope the manager pulled you off at halftime tactically.
Yeah, Gaffer, you don't want me to get sent off here. You know, you need me next week.
Like, what do you do? Like, honestly, he's skating. It looked like he had skates.
Oh, didn't know. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know, the back four is all talking to each other as well, going, Jesus, guys, help. Fullback, and you're pulling the fullbacks in even more, making it even tighter. Going, help me.
But then you got this midfield that can actually, you know, put in through the eye of the needle these passes.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's making the runs and not being found. Like that's why I just think he's just.
Even on the penalty, that ball, I thought it was overhit. Mm. And I couldn't believe how quick he got to it.
So did Areola.
Yep. What a tip. But
what a nipple.
you're too obvious with that. See? Jimmy's analysis was very good, very clear. Or not so clear.
No, mine was clear.
Yeah. Look, to the point.
What's clear is that
are you hoping that Fabianski's hurt for a long time just so you can make fun of his name for the next few weeks? Yeah.
Well, actually, I was somewhat surprised that Areola didn't start.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Explain.
Well, Fabianski's 37, so age is obviously going to become a factor sooner rather than later. And when do you make that switch? Because they think highly of Areola. The fans like him. And I think generally they thought that was the case. And then Fabianski would play cup games. So he's going to get a run. And I think if he does well now, even when Fabianski comes back, I think that will be the case. I think they'll keep it as it is. He's in his prime right now, Areola. He's got to get those games. They got to trust him at some point. And I think now they have to use him. So if he does well, it's up to him now.
So you have to support him.
So let me ask you something, Craig, right? Because I never know these conversations. He's come on, right? Gave a penalty away. Didn't have a proper warm-up and everything. You're just getting chopped into a match, right? Which is obviously difficult for a backup goalkeeper coming on.
Yeah, it's terrible.
What's the conversation now after the match with the goalkeeping coach? What would he be saying to him? And then obviously the gaffer would be talking to the coach and talking to the keeper now going, I need you. What are those conversations? Because I'd like to know them.
Well, that's why I thought maybe starting him at the start of the season, Fabianski would understand because of his age. And then they would also show a lot of trust in Areola. right out of the gates. And that gives you some confidence. The manager's like, yep, you're the number one. I'm going with you this year. Well, that wasn't the case. So now Areola is like, I just kind of, even though he came on, it's really difficult. It was poor from him from a goalkeeper standpoint. Now he's like, the gaffer doesn't really trust me to be number one. I'm got my chance now. So I know the gaffer, but he has no belief in the gaffer trusting him.
Yeah.
That's gone. So he's just got to go out and get him in on his side and do really well over the next few weeks or whatever. And
so in his mind, he'll be thinking, oh, the gaffer's going to doubt me a little bit more. Didn't start me, brought me on. I gave away a penalty.
Well, that's how I would feel. I mean, it done preseason. Okay. The team sheet comes out for the first game. Everybody's wondering who's going to start. Yeah. He goes with Fabianski, who's 37, who I think is still can do a job for a year, but eventually you got to make that change and he hasn't played much.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good time to do it.
To tell you what makes this a really unique podcast, you're going to hear a lot of people talking about that Man City result, and I don't think you'll hear that much Alphonse Areola talk on any podcast in the world.
Yeah.
That's what we're so unique for, boys. That's what we're so unique for.
Well, and I don't know how bad the injury is for Fabianski, but I don't know even if their third and fourth string goalkeepers or something that they think is strong enough that they might end up dipping into the market for
Darren Somebody Randolph up. Is still there, right? I think the third stringer. He's been
around. Oh, Daryl Randolph's still there? Well, he was there for, and then he left. He went to Middlesbrough, I believe, and then he came back again.
How old's he now?
I always thought he was solid. Yeah, I got no worries with him. He's number three there, so yeah, that's not a problem. Now a number two.
So, did you give your takes on Haaland here? You mentioned skating and just how deadly he would be to defend
against. He was just like I thought he would be. Not like Jimmy getting 12 goals a year. He's going to get 12 goals.
Yeah,
honestly,
in his sleep.
Made a mistake there, didn't I?
They lost 30 goals to Manchester City.
Yeah, he missed 30. One chance in the Community Shield, and Jimmy just fucking sold him out.
Not good enough.
Sterling and Jesus left. That's 30 goals last season that they got to replace. And he may not bag 30, but he's going to bag pretty close to it. And he's also going to set up quite a few goals to contribute to more than 30, just alone.
Pep was asked post-match. The reporter said, listen, people are saying that he reminds them a lot of Thierry Henry and Ronaldo, the way he opens his body up. And Pep starts laughing and says, Jesus, guys, last week people are saying he's a failure. He's a disaster. And now they're comparing him to Henry and Ronaldo. Let's just give it a few years. Let's see what happens when he retires and then we'll look back. If it's so true, right? People were writing this guy off after a freaking friendly.
Yeah.
And now suddenly they're, you know, promoting him to being one of the greatest of all time. Let's just enjoy him while we can, shall we?
And I think this is only his third or fourth appearance for City as well. Right? Because Community Shield was second or third.
Yeah.
He played at Lambeau. That was his first. And then he get maybe one more game in. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Give it some time. But I did think that it would be a little bit longer before we saw that very typical Bundesliga goal, which is what that second goal was from open play on Sunday. He's done that 1,000 times for Dortmund.
Mm-hmm. I think the Premier League is going to suit him.
Yeah. Yeah, you can say that again. I think it will.
6'5" bullet. Like, and in the air as well. Like, holy Christ.
Where's the weakness?
Full sides. He's good from both sides in the air.
Yeah, both feet. He can head. He's got pace. He's very physical. What is his weakness?
I don't know. It's impossible.
Yeah. You can't say he doesn't score enough goals, no matter, you know, whatever. Like,
his weakness is that he's not marketable. He's a scary looking man. That's his weakness. Not as marketable.
He's a character, though.
He is, isn't he?
He is a character. Yeah.
Yeah.
But his goal, I mean, I think he's got 21 and 20 for Norway internationally. Mm. Under 20s with Norway. He got 11 and 5, I think. Like, everywhere he's scored. And Dortmund, he's not a goal a game, but he's pretty damn close.
and he's born in England, born in Leeds. Just think, he could be wearing a white shirt at the World Cup this year, but he chose Norway.
I said that off air, right? He lined up on Sunday with Grealish on one side and Foden on the other. That could have been England's front three. How insane.
Although Harry Kane's pretty good. Harry Kane's not bad.
Could you imagine battling for places, though? What that would be like?
I know. Someone Holland was tweeting actually about England, the centre backs think that the top four of the five top centre backs for England were all on the bench this weekend. Only Harry Maguire was starting.
Yeah, and he's not exactly a fan favorite at the moment.
No, exactly. Connor Cody could be on with Everton, apparently. That's a big hot rumor right now.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he wasn't going to play, that Bruno Lage was. Although our fan mentioned that, but I think I thought, no, Cody deserves to start. He's still in the England conversation. He'll play, and big egg on my fantasy team. So maybe if he goes to Everton and they play a little bit better than they did against Chelsea, then maybe he's worth keeping on the side. But when you balance a fantasy Premier League team, you can't have too many guys on teams that are likely to get relegated.
How many teams are you in fantasy leagues? Just the one, or are you?
I've got one team. I'm in like three leagues. I've got one team.
I just haven't got the patience for it. I'm asked every year. I'm asked, can you want to join my league? Like, no interest.
Yeah. You just tell them you're busy. You got three jobs. People understand.
I do it with a smile on my face. I'm not miserable about it.
And don't you have to change players every week and all that?
Exactly. Have to rotate. Yeah, players get injured. Like,
not
Cody's not playing. Yeah, I have to check it weekly. That's part of the reason why I've never won the league.
All right. Yeah, guys that were injured for 3 weeks still in your team.
Oh, I've definitely been that guy for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. If the chairman's just like sick of seeing the gap grow, he's like, no, I want some competition. No one's messaging in the WhatsApp group. Dunny, take Lingard out. He's been gone for 6 months. Oh, yep. Right. Okay.
Ben Godfrey's in there in September, still there, starting.
There'll be a few people. In the past, I would be that guy, but no, now I'm on top of it. You know who I do have in my fantasy team? And God, I know you're happy he's in your squad, Charms. Darwin Nunez. And when I tweet about Darwin Nunez, I use the accent. So you probably hate that on Twitter too.
Oh, yes. They're very arrogant. No need for it.
Like, you just want no Nunez in your tweets. You're not having it.
Yeah. All those little things over the E's.
Nunez.
Is that what it's called? Enway?
What the hell's that? It's an Enyay.
Oh, shut up. Yeah.
You don't.
It's a Henway. What's a Henway? About 5 pounds.
Jimmy is melting with his mic off over there. You're depriving the listeners of one of your greatest traits.
Forrest, he's such an idiot, honestly. Was anybody watching Forrest or no?
Oh, I saw him. I saw him.
What a...
He was taking a lot of that.
Wonger, did you see him? Yeah.
Wonger's so used to me.
Usually, you guys are taking the piss out of me or it's something I've not seen or done. So I'll take that advantage.
So, you didn't see Forrest.
Didn't see Forrest. Do you want to? Are you able to tell us what he was doing?
No.
Are we lose our license here?
No. Oh, yeah, probably.
My cat jumped up on my lap and all you see is his black tail. So,
like rubbing his nose.
Yeah. And it looked like something else.
Oh, okay. We'll leave it at that. So, Sharms, Darwin Nunez, hell of a player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's good, isn't he? Goal and assist. Him and Mo look pretty good to start things off, I thought. Although, Fulham were fantastic in that game, and
they were.
Should give them a lot of credit. Liverpool were awful in the first half. They weren't great for the entire match, but I give Fulham. They had no fear. They showed no respect to Liverpool, and I thought they were just superb. And great to see Mitrovic start his next... Premier League adventure with a couple of goals, because the question marks were, can he get it done in the Premier League? Well, we'll see, but it's a pretty good start because there are two really nice finishes.
Yeah.
He's not
yeah.
the same player he was when Fulham were last in the Prem, when he was last in the Premier League. He's a much better player.
He sure seems it.
He's smarter. He's more lethal. I think he might be stronger. If he's a bit slower, fine, but he's smarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's starting off that well. That's massive for him. If he went 3 or 4 without scoring, you know, oh yeah, he can do it in the championship, but he can't do it in the Premier League. That's going to start being the conversation.
How rare was it to see Van Dijk conceded a penalty, leaving a leg out. I mean, you don't see that, right? It's such a weird thing. Incredible.
You don't see that. You don't see that often.
I think that if the referee didn't give it, I don't think they would overturn it either.
But there was contact, though, right? He was looking for it for sure. Man. He was, absolutely. But there was contact.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have, when it was given as a one-eyed Liverpool fan, it didn't upset me as far as it wasn't the wrong call. I thought, okay, yeah, that's a penalty.
Oh, yeah. When I saw it originally, too, then when I saw the replay, I was. He sold it well
early in the season.
Yeah, but these points count, though, right? I mean, as much as it's, look, it was 1 point last year that came down to.
Speaking of him for the mistake, making an uncharacteristic mistake early in the season. But yeah, no, was Klopp or Pep that said, you know, this is a strange year with the World Cup interrupting it. No one's going to win the title before the World Cup, but you sure as hell can lose it. So then they're not going to want to go on a run like that. But we saw how quickly that gap closed last season. A bit of concern. But if you're an Arsenal fan, you got to be pretty happy with how they started. Not that you're expecting them to be in the title hunt at Christmas, but they might be in a pretty good position to be in the top four well into the spring if they can keep up that form. What did you think of them on Friday in the opening match of the season, Craig?
I don't remember that match so much.
Not me either. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I've watched six games since.
Arsenal beat Crystal Palace 2-0 on Friday in the opening match.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I thought they were a little bit fortunate. I don't think Palace are going to have any issues this year. No. They play some really good football.
And they're good at home. They're very confident. They don't seem to be fazed by their opposition.
No, Selhurst Park is a very difficult place to play at, too. It's always really, really loud in there. And they play very quickly.
The second goal was an own goal as well, wasn't it?
It was an own goal, yeah. But I think it was the scoreline was more reflective of the play. If it had finished 1-0, that was a bit flattering to Palace, I thought. Arsenal were the better side.
Mm. Yeah.
Martinelli's on form. Saka looked okay. Didn't get on the score sheet, but I thought Saka looked where you want to see him.
Hey, I've been watching that documentary as well. It's really good.
Yeah, it is. All or Nothing. I'm a big fan of it. You've been in on the Leafs one? They did All or Nothing, the Leafs one. Yeah. Okay. So I thought I thought the series was new to you, but no. I saw the first three episodes. Have they added the rest of the season yet?
No.
Usually it comes in one lot. I don't know what they're tearing it for. There should be 6 or 8 episodes.
They're teasing.
Oh, weird. Mm. Well, they're making us wait.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. What have I skipped here from the Premier League that was of mention? Obviously, I'm avoiding Villa because that was a goddamn disaster.
But Newcastle.
Gets Newcastle's 2-0 win over Forest. Yeah, but I was trying to be a good host here. I wasn't going to set. I didn't want Jimmy to go miserable.
No, you're all right. Listen, we Forest and I were talking about that, you know, when the game was going on as well. You know, people don't realize just how hard a place St. James Park is to go, you know, for the first game as well. They went up with a lot of fans. Thought, you know, they did okay, you know, for the first game with a new team. But the crowd was so into it, too, at St. James Park. And they dominated the game. You got to hold your hand up.
I think Cooper comes in the dressing room and says, okay, there's a massive standard difference from what we played in last year. Although, yeah. He's got a lot of new players he's got to make gel.
Yeah.
Which is, that worries me a little bit. They spent a lot of money, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. These guys need to play with each other for a while. So,
yeah.
They got the Hammers next week, I believe, at home.
Not to mention, though, that Newcastle finished last season like a Champions League side. Like they were in Champions League form, they were flying. So they were going to start the season strong, I think, to begin with. Tough task, but maybe that's a good test for Forest, you know, and that I don't think they can hang their heads too bad. They certainly didn't get blown off the park.
They still haven't got a shirt sponsor.
They're just waiting for the right one.
It was all old school. It looked very bizarre.
Yeah. It did look strange. It looked like they were wearing training tops or their warm-up top.
I wonder if they got the old Labatt's across the chest again.
Oh yeah, we've got a promo that I cut with one of those shirts. What Charms was talking about, wanting to wear big baggy shirts again.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, "That's a really bizarre sponsorship."
Yeah,
yeah. not as bizarre as the Chevrolet crest across the Manchester United shirts. That's got to be one of the oddest looking ones of all time.
Yeah.
We've all got used to like the luxurious Middle Eastern airlines now. But at the beginning, when Fly Emirates was across the front, Chelsea and AC Milan and Arsenal, that was strange. But now you're just used to it. It'd be strange to not see it. Yeah. Chevrolet.
Some funny sponsors out there. What about, was it Guadalajara that had Bimbo on their chest, which was like some Mexican bread company?
It's bread. Yeah, it's a huge. It's like the Wonder Bread of Latin America. Yeah, it's massive. Bimbo. They also sponsored the Philadelphia Union for a while. They've been in Major League Soccer for a while.
Yeah.
I want to get to MLS. There's some good games, but just to go through the others. Leeds 2, Wolves 1. Wolves are going to have a tough season, I think, to start. Yeah, that's a good result for Leeds, though. Jimmy, you were talking about how Jesse Marsh, there's a lot of pressure on Jesse Marsh, probably a bit unfair as well, but they had to start flying. So 3 points for them is a great start.
Great result.
Yeah.
Well, we did say Wolves was going to struggle a little bit, even when their fan came on as well from the supporter group. He said the same thing. It's going to be a difficult season for them.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to our last show, our Fan Friday show, I know the season has started, but that was the end of our Premier League preview week. But we spoke to some fans that are part of big supporters groups in Toronto. We'll do that throughout the season. So yeah, check that out. The Worldwide Wolves take from Brett was really good. But the start to the season is, just as he predicted, not so good, which is not what I predicted for Villa. But it goes to show you their charms. The preseason means jack shit. Because they were awful. Like, that was people were texting me, and I've got a friend who was like, I don't know what to make of this. It's been 24 hours and I don't feel any better, but I feel worse for not feeling worse. Like, I should be angrier. It's pretty pathetic. They just look lifeless against a side that shouldn't be at their level.
I want to hear from Greg and Jimmy here, like, opening game of the season, right? And you can see within 2 minutes, it has to drive your gaffer. Like,
mental
off the freaking wall, right? I mean, you just can't do that. You can't hit the turf unfocused like that. I mean, if you're Steven Gerrard, he's a bit of an old nonsense, old school manager, I think, in many ways, right? You can imagine what he was thinking and what he was saying on half time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even though Bournemouth, they got promoted and their crowd's buzzing, and that's a difficult place. Any place away from home is hard, but at the same time, you're marking that down as a, if you're the gaffer before the game, that's 3 points we got to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet, Craig, you know as well, I think a lot of times the first game of the season is it's a nightmare as well, because the amount of energy that you use in that game, because it's the first one, the hype, the buildup, the season's starting, and you go out there and you end up doing more running than you normally do. And you do stupid things that you normally don't do because it's the first match and the fans are all excited because they haven't seen a game in 6-7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you've got so much energy. And then after, when the game's done, you're exhausted. I mean, done compared to every other game that throughout the rest of the season, that always, that first game is a nightmare for players. It really is. And you just kind of want to get the first game out of the way and then just go, okay, let's settle down now and let's get playing football.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I watched the pace of some of those games. Yeah. I mean, right from Palace like to the West Ham and Man City game, just the pace of the game and how quick it is, and can they sustain it?
No.
These teams that are pressing so well.
Yeah.
I thought the pace in that Everton-Chelsea game, Jimmy, you said this as well, we were watching together, was intense in the first half.
It was rapid.
Almost it too was fast for fast. Chelsea. Because you could see the moments where Chelsea were like, no, we're taking control and we're slowing it down.
Yeah.
Not as negative as Jose used to be, but it's funny how Tuchel's side reminds me a little bit more of those Jose teams than I thought.
Yeah.
But they can play with this intensity.
But you can't play with that intensity for 50-odd games.
No, I know.
It doesn't work. You know, the first couple of games of the season, everybody's wound up, ready to get going, and everybody wants to win the first game. It's the first game you want to win. But then after, it starts to die down a little bit. Teams figure each other out because everybody's got new tactics, new players coming into the league, and everybody's trying to figure everybody out. And then you start seeing the tempo drop a little bit.
Even in the moment, though, you can't play with that intensity. Like, United couldn't do that for 50 minutes, for 30 minutes. Those last 10 minutes, they were done. It was like they were playing to the 80th minute.
Yeah, and then it's so hot as well. That first game of the season is ridiculous.
It does seem like it's really getting to them too. Yeah, I didn't say it before, and I still want to talk about Spurs, but I thought Raheem Sterling looked pretty good for Chelsea. That was a strong start. They're still going to make some moves, as we say. They'll be a very different looking team by the end of the month, I think, and certainly into September, but they got themselves a good one in Sterling. And we've said this several times, Tottenham got themselves a great one in Antonio Conte. Was it you, Jimmy, saying that you like Spurs to be your dark horse?
Nope.
No, it's not you saying that.
No,
he had Forrest. He had Forrest as his dark horse.
Oh, right.
No, it was JC.
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 Remember Spurs and he goes, like San Antonio? And
yeah, he goes, oh, they got probably no chance. And was like, well, whoa. No, we actually said they actually do.
They look like they got a great chance.
Yeah. They're no Leicester.
No.
Let's put it that way.
No, they're good. They look good.
They do. Yeah.
No, you got Richarlison on the bench. I mean, that right there, I think that says it all. Had, was it 10 goals, 9 assists last year at a poor Everton? I think it's going to be, it's going to be a great season for Spurs. And maybe not a title, but pretty damn good.
I didn't
tweet
it
from there.
They will be up there. I would not bet against them not finishing in the top four.
Yeah, I would not bet against them.
Yeah, missing out on top four. I really think that they're a worthy side. And in the past, I always thought that they weren't. So many years where they looked good. They were good stretches. They had good players, good pieces. Kane was begging in goals. Son started to score goals. And I thought, no, they're not a Champions League team. It's just smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
And they go on a stretch where they just looked awful. And they might get that stretch, but I just think they're such a better unit. And not talked about enough is last January's acquisition of Dejan Kulusevski. If I didn't tweet it from the account, but if you've not seen that pass for Sessegnon's goal, their opener, holy shit. That guy is good. And he can finish as well. Like Kulusevski, in addition to Kane and Son, they have no shortage of options and ways to put the ball in the back of the net.
Mm-hmm. I really hope Sessegnon steps it up too. And this is his breakout year because he's a really good player. And he came into the league with, it was Fulham, wasn't it?
Was Fulham.
I think originally. And, the next big thing in English football, watch out for this guy. And it didn't happen for him. And he couldn't get any, got the move to Spurs maybe a little bit too soon, but he looked really good. Really good. So I hope he can push on.
You know who it's finally happening for? He's pushed on. He's playing to the level that everyone expected when they did the deal. Lorenzo Insigne scores his first goal for Toronto FC.
Yeah.
A beauty. Very, talk about how typical that Holland goal was of his Dortmund days. We've seen it 1,000 times. I felt like the only thing different from that Insigne goal was that he was wearing a red shirt instead of a blue one.
Yeah,
seen that goal a bunch of times, but now seen it in MLS.
He couldn't have squeezed that in any closer to that post, could he?
Yeah.
What a strike it was.
Pin perfect.
Such a quick release, power.
You couldn't fit his hand in there between where the post and the ball is.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what's funny? He's gone blonde now. It's like Bernardeschi's growing the blonde out, and Insigne's gone with the blonde. And on the other side of the pitch on TV, I felt like it made him look shorter.
Is that possible?
You know how when people say like, oh, certain colors like black is slimming, white doesn't look great on everybody, blonde doesn't look great on small people who are on television from far distances.
So you're saying smaller. Blonde people look small?
Well, he sure did.
Yeah.
Made so if you're look small short. If you're small and you're blonde, you should dye your hair to look taller.
Someone should do a study and see how many small natural blonde people actually dye their hair to look taller.
There's zero.
Blonde people don't dye their hair other colors?
What, to be taller?
I'm just saying.
What the fuck are you talking about right now?
It gives the illusion that you're taller.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Along with your 4-inch running shoes.
All right, so if you're trying out for a movie role, like B, you can ask Elena this, right? Not I know she's quite tall, but if you're a little fella trying out for a role that you must be a little fella for, say, Wizard of Oz, for example.
Dilpa Lumpa, what color was her hair? Green.
Yeah, right. Blonde. Still. I bet they're blonde. I bet they were blonde.
Okay.
In real life.
Fellas, you're talking shit now, right? One of the biggest people in the world are the Vikings.
Yeah, Holland.
Look at that blonde hair. Holland 6'5", blonde hair.
He has black hair. He looks much taller. He's dyed his hair.
Look,
and
the Dilpa
Lumpas had green hair with orange skin.
No, that's Willy Wonka. That's not the Oompa Loompas.
That's a Wizard of Oz. Were you talking about the Wizard of Oz? What are we talking about?
Oompa Loompas are not from the Wizard of Oz.
They were orange.
You've confused it.
Who's the short guy in Wizard of Oz?
Munchkins.
The Munchkins. The Munchkins. Oh,
thank you.
Oompa Loompas. And I was gonna chime in here. You know,
well, the Wizard of Oz.
Oompa Loompas are Willy Wonka. Interior designers always use mirrors to make things look taller and thinner. So Insigne needs to figure out a whole mirror system to make him look taller.
I don't think that he's realized what it looks like. This is what I'm saying. As someone who only sees him on the pitch from the comfort of my basement widescreen TV, when he's on the opposite side of the pitch from the camera, the blonde makes him look smaller.
You know, B. Soteldo was blonde, right?
Yeah, him too. Although I didn't notice it the same.
It's interesting.
I didn't notice it the same then. But with Insigne, there was a couple of times I'm like, there's a fan on the field. Like, there's a full kit wanker fan that's just come on the field. He's a teenager or child.
Full kit wanker fan.
It's the kid that always greets Ronaldo wherever he goes, right? Yeah, Runs out with flowers, hugs him.
Hey, but let's give credit as well to TFC. That's a first road win, and to score four goals on the road is very, very good. I thought they played well. I thought Oso was on fire that match.
He's been so good, honestly, since the
his first goal. Yeah, his first goal was beautiful. That little chop, drop the shoulder.
Not to mention the pass from Richie, first touch pass from Richie. Yeah.
And Richie looked great. Richie looked very, very
good. Two buddies back together. It's good.
It's exciting. Richie came off, I think, in the 75th minute or just before full time there. And he was having the fans were having a go at him. And he just had you could just tell he was just happy. He was just having a laugh, that big beaming smile.
Yeah.
And again, you know, they pull off a big win. They had a big change room photo that they posted and shared everyone on social media. I know we kind of talked about that last week, but this looks like a team that's having a lot of fun and enjoys being around each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great time for that to happen, as much as we say they're out of it or still a big hill to climb, Charms.
I think they know, right? As a group, they know how good they're going to be, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it's going to be this year, maybe it's not, but you guys can tell me, when you're in a group of players, there's something in a good team, you must have that innate understanding, like, boys, look around here. You know, this is not going to be a typical team. We could be pretty good this year, and they know it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know it. You could see it. Yeah. And, you know, and from Richie's point of view too, you have to think and remember that it didn't work out at Nottingham Forest, at least for now anyway. And them getting promoted to the Premier League, he would have had a chat with the manager and he would have been absolutely gutted. Absolutely gutted. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been told that you're not in my plans. I'm signing fullbacks for fun here. And we're going to try and look to send you out on loan. Like, and that's a difficult situation for him to go through. Yeah. It really is, mentally.
And the good thing is he's gone back home to surroundings that he knows. Mm-hmm. And if he went on loan for a year to another club and you don't settle in and you can't find your feet and it becomes an absolute disaster, then you're really done.
I was thinking that as well.
I wonder though, I mean, at the same time, when you spend 6 months at a club and then you return to your previous club on loan, you can understand why the word failure will be coming up there, right? Unfailure otherwise. Whereas if you're loaned out to another club within the same division, say in the Championship, that happens all the time. Players get signed and get loaned out. It's not deemed as much as a failure. Do you think part of him is like, man, I'm going back to where I'm comfortable? Yeah, it's easy. It's a natural move, but maybe had I stayed in the same division, that would have looked better optically.
Yes, because MLS still has a stigma around it too, and exactly. A quality level, and where is it, and how can they make that step up, and all these different things. And if you're playing in the Championship, which is one of the best leagues in the world, in Europe for sure, and if you're doing well in there, you're also being seen more often, you know. You're a couple hours drive away for any scout, so
yeah.
you're more in the shop window.
I think I agree with you, Craig, and I think when you look at it as well, if you said, okay, what are the top five clubs in MLS? TFC's up there, and you look at the players that they've signed as well, world class players. He's going back into a very good situation. Mm-hmm. He's going back into a big club. It's not like he's going into a small club in MLS.
No.
Where he's going to get pushed aside, not under the microscope. You know, it's like he's going back to a good, good team where mm-hmm. people are going to watch him. People are going to see him. Around the world, they're going to be watching TFC because of who mm-hmm. they've got right now.
Yeah. So he just had he had this dream, though. He always had this dream. He wanted to go to Europe and give it a go, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He still may get the opportunity very soon to go back. But to Jimmy's point there, and Charm said in coming home, the only thing that's the same is the city and the crest and that shirt. This team is very different. And he went to Europe, obviously, to fulfill that dream, yes. And we always say this, it's to elevate his game, right? To test himself, to play at a higher level. He's come back to play in a team that's at a considerably higher level. And for development, I know he's a bit up there, and I feel like we don't throw around that word development with guys who are 28. But let's be honest, he's playing around some of the best group of players he's ever been around. Like his game will elevate.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about it, you know. But it's not so much who he's playing with as the league he's playing in.
No, I get it.
Right. And I don't think he did poorly. When he did, we saw him come on for us when I thought he did fine. I thought he did well. I can't.
Yep.
They're four points out with 10 games to play. He's going to be a massive part of that. We talked about how much better Jonathan Osorio looks. And Jonathan Osorio probably was TFC's best player up to this point as well. Wouldn't you say, Jimmy?
Yeah. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think you can just see the confidence that Oso is playing with right now is ridiculous. You know, he's doing things where, you know, even in that game against Nashville, you know, last year, the year before, he would have been looking to pass that ball or a little thread. And all of a sudden now he's coming up to three defenders, throwing a chop, coming across, another little touch, drop the shoulder, striking left foot, scoring. For me, that's showing somebody that's got bags of confidence right now, like ridiculous amount of confidence.
I felt
he's looking good.
I felt that just in that first half against Charlotte. You can see the things that he was trying, the quick touches, almost matching Insigne and Crescito in the sense of that very quick touch at full speed into space, outside of the boot, crafty plays that you just don't play when you're a struggling team and you're trying to focus on the fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a player for me that has just consistently got better and better. And that doesn't always happen. You get players that plateau and they just can't seem to get better than that. But Oso, for me, is... Yeah, with age, he's getting
smarter.
Smarter. And with those good players around him, it's lifted him as well.
I mean, look at Messi. We thought he plateaued being around the group of plastic superstars that PSG have assembled. Did you see his bicycle kick goal to complete PSG's 5-0 win over Clermont Foot? What a bicycle kick. He's never scored one, they were saying.
Really?
He's never scored a bicycle kick.
I mean, he's not the biggest either. Is he's not going to really get a lot of those chances in the boxes. He's all everything on the ground for him.
But speaking of a player that scored 1,000 goals, you've seen on the highlight reels all the time, do magnificent things and make Ray Hudson twist the and eroticize the English language in ways that few people could ever imagine.
Yeah,
you feel like he'd scored a spectacular goal like that before.
Do you think he was masturbating himself to that goal?
Virtually. Well,
yeah. Isn't Ray Hudson now?
Beaten myself.
He's working with Inter Miami now.
He's the color commentator for all.
Yeah, for the record, that was actually a line he used with us, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about Juan Román Riquelme. I brought that up before.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
At the Olympic Games, it was Beijing 2008. You and KJ didn't give a shit about it. We had Ray Hudson on.
Hey, by the way, if you follow him on Twitter, he calls himself a verbal gymnast.
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's very good,
right?
Or a cunning linguist.
He's got a very unique.
Is that your profile?
Very unique.
Back to Messi though. Yeah, great goal, and he scored another great one last week. And the assist on the Neymar goal as well was just freaking out of this world. So there's something happening there so far, as early as it is this season.
You're getting all switched on about him again now, are you?
Messi? I was never switched off.
Oh,
come on.
No, you were pretty switched. You were pretty miserable last year when he went.
No,
to
I felt let down by him, right, a little bit. But, he's he can buy me dinner again and we'll be friends.
You know? I think that that's exactly what you said. You needed to go to relationship rehab with him.
You're just trying to be miserable again, aren't you?
And everybody, yeah. That's it.
Well, do you think Messi would think that Sharms is grumpy?
100%.
Messi strikes me as that type of person to be like, oh, too much negative energy. I can't be around.
Who doesn't?
I've said more nice things about Messi in my career than any other player. So Messi must think I'm this wonderful, positive, glasses half full kind of person.
Yeah, but think the more time you spend with him, he'll be going, Jesus,
you'll grind him down.
This guy's a downer. Jesus
Christ. This guy is sucking the soul out of me.
He's shining. He's awful.
Yeah, next time he's.
El Diablo, this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Next time he's sipping mate with Suarez on FaceTime, talking about just toxic people. Got to cut them out of your life. This James Sharman guy.
Suarez scored as well in his Nacional debut.
I saw that. It looked pretty special to him and to those fans, but I'm disappointed he's not in the Prem again. I really wanted Villa to sign him. And at second choice, I wanted to see him in Major League Soccer.
But he might still go there. They're saying that this deal is a one-year deal. It could get him to MLS.
Yeah. Hmm.
This is just to tie him over to the World Cup then.
Yeah.
I'm going to say him and Messi link up with an MLS club at one point because they're best friends.
Amazed.
I wouldn't bet against that. Yeah. But if it's Sporting Kansas City that's got the allocation order and the money, that would be weird.
Did you see the Barcelona documentary? That it was head to each other's houses for their barbecues. And their,
Mate bros. Sipping on that loose leaf.
What is that tea?
It's a tea.
Okay.
Yeah. I drink it. My wife thinks it's not good.
Of course you do.
But I drink it.
Of course you do. You drink it. Of course you do. Why am I not surprised?
I drink it because I saw it in the broadcast. I saw it on that show.
Exactly.
Like, I just want to be cool.
What is Wonger that?
Wonger had a moment.
Do you go to your Drywall United games with that?
With the mate, of course.
Through the little bag, designer bag with your toiletries in it, and
it's not a designer bag; it's an Umbro bag. But yeah, no, I don't have the toiletry set.
I have
a sport mate, and I have the traditional mate that's like a gourd, the traditional gourd. But I've got a mold problem right now, Jimmy. It's a fucking pain in the ass. It's about how you dry it. You can't dry it upside down. It's a real gourd,
right?
Pour hot water in it, you scrape it out, but mold is a fucking mess. So the rubber ones are good because it's like a sport.
Jimmy has no idea what you're talking about.
I know the little cups that they drink out with the little straw. And
it's basically very pure tea, but it's very strong. It's highly naturally caffeinated.
Yeah.
What's wrong with PG tips?
Manny Aparicio would drink it all the time.
Mate Manny.
Yeah. A few of the Spanish guys used to drink it all the
time.
There
you go. I was out with Wonger once and he's had a moment. He looked at me. He's like, you were born in the wrong place. Yeah. You're supposed to be a European, eh? Like, what the hell? Was it because I knew the French song that was on the radio or something?
Oh, you knew something. It's like you were, the words for foosball, for all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you need to be walking around with a little espresso.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
They were drinking all that shit and I was getting a Tetley's tea bag and putting in a little cup.
Exactly.
not wrong with that.
But then you're playing Jits and drinking Grolsch like everyone else from your Durham region.
And a little espresso. Buddy, not Durham.
I corrected myself. I misspoke, bud. I didn't mean to offend anyone.
I think your last
name offended me, apparently.
It's held you back, your last name.
I think so as well. Dunlopsch would have been better, don't you think? So
what's your mom's name again? What's your mom's maiden name again? What's the Portuguese name?
My middle name is my mother's maiden name, which is Felix, which isn't particularly Portuguese.
That's a good name, though.
Yeah.
It's just a single name.
You've said it beautifully, French, which is its original origins. But in Portuguese, which, as you know, is a very uniquely beautiful language as well, it's actually Felch.
Oh, geez, Felching. that's not a good name.
No.
Depending on like what, but you could be, Felix, like Joel Felix, but
good old. Hey, get that Felch guy in over here.
Yeah, exactly.
That Felch.
Brendan sounds like a Felch. We just call you Felch. Felchy.
Sounds like you got something stuck in your throat,
dude. Look up.
Oh, he's about to Felch.
No, Wonger, don't look it
Urban
up.
Urban Dictionary, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Look up Felch.
Don't look it up, Jimmy, because you obviously don't know what it is.
It's not right.
I'm actually amazed that you don't know what it is.
Yeah, of all the people. Too.
So let me get
all the people. This
he's
is
looking,
actually
he's looking it up right now.
Yeah.
So Eintracht
came up with pictures. Came up with pictures.
What's going on here?
Are you using the incognito browser so no one can track your?
You can track whatever you like on my computer.
Hey, can you imagine that as a middle name?
Yeah. Jesus! Oh my God!
You're gonna go with Felix, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well, boy.
If the time comes to name, if the time comes to name children, maybe I've just taken Felix off of the potential list, the candidate list.
It's out the window now.
But I like Felix.
Oh, it's a strong name. I should have gone with Felix Dunlop. I should have gone with Felix Dunlop.
Yeah.
You had
better. Well, you didn't really have a choice, though, did you, Brendan?
No, Sharman just threw me on TV at the age of 22 with a big beard to read the tweets and was. Oh.
So let me ask you. So let me get this right. You're Brendan Dunlop, very British, and your mom's got a French last name.
Ethnically French, yes.
Yeah,
but she's Portuguese.
And you're Portuguese.
Yeah, that's it.
Can't figure that one out myself.
No, but most people can't figure that out. That's what makes me so unique. Or as Wonger pointed out, it's probably why I'm overcompensating all the time.
And as the French may say, oui.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Dunny with his foreign car and his mate and his weird international music. What a weird guy. I'll tell you, I'll end on this. A Canadian and a Portuguese who speaks French and now manages in France. Jonathan David and Paulo Fonseca are my new favorite duo because Lille are playing amazing football under him. The preseason, they looked like a very different team, just fast-moving, flowing team that could kind of play to the skill set, not necessarily the strengths that we're used to seeing, but the skill set of Jonathan David. And he looked amazing. Set up a goal and scored one 3 minutes in.
That's
okay,
always,
good. I'm glad
that is all good news.
Appreciate that. Sharms usually has this body, like his camera starts to fog at a certain time, and then he has this body positioning where I just know he's like he's just waiting to leave. He's like, God, if I was hosting this show, would have ended 17 minutes ago.
It's a long
show.
Why
are we still doing this?
It's quite a long one.
It has been a long one.
Is it humid in your house?
Is it getting foggy?
It does look a little dirty. Maybe you've put something on this camera at some point.
I do that. Those felching videos I keep looking at.
Felching videos, yeah.
And Fonzie played 90 minutes for Bayern Munich, and they destroyed Eintracht Frankfurt, which says all you need to know about the strength of the Europa League, I guess, eh, Craig? If you can win the Europa League but then lose 6-1 to Bayern Munich, who must be getting tired of winning the Bundesliga.
Oh, my God.
How good is the Europa League?
Yeah, making 11. You might as well give them the trophy already. Number 11 in a row, isn't it?
They've done 10, so just give it to them now, yeah. Just crown them. Crown their asses.
Is it 10 straight? They've done 10 straight.
They've done 10 in a row. Huh.
That does suck for the league.
Doesn't look very good, does it?
Oh, Dortmund
doesn't look competitive.
No. And they run a good league too. I mean, they do really everything really well, but that dominance is too much.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. See how it plays out. Well, I'd say we put a bow on this show, guys. It was great to spend as much time with you this weekend. I don't know if our listeners feel the same way, but for the four people that were in the pub to hang out with us and the listeners that may have watched our halftime show and post-game show, I think they enjoyed the company.
Sure.
I thought this was supposed to be 45 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you're the one that made us record 3 hours earlier because you got to go drive to some part of the GTA to watch children play soccer. So
got to go Woodbridge, man.
God, that sounds creepy.
The home of football in Toronto.
You just made him sound really creepy. Yeah. Go drive and somewhere to watch children play football.
My son is playing. What do you think? I'm going to go watch U14 boys play football? My son's playing in Woodbridge.
Thanks for some context.
You know, funny.
You up as a
Jimmy
as a creep.
You should go there, right? Watching your boy play there. And when someone asks you, so which one's yours? You reply, I haven't chosen yet.
You're fucking mental, eh?
What a weird thing to say.
You're mental. Honestly, you need to get back in your cellar.
Yeah, Durham has changed you. You are creepier now.
Isn't he creepy? Is that creepy?
Yeah, it's how quick he was. Like, the second I said Felix in a Portuguese accent, he's like, oh, felching. Oh,
Jesus.
Does anybody say anything to you, Jimmy, at the games?
Well, they know my son's playing because it says Brennan 11 on the back.
But do they say anything to you?
And he looks like me.
Fucking looks just like you, man.
But I thought he was going to say, does anybody say, why is your kid shit?
What?
Did they ever say that? I don't know, but.
No.
How are we going to take the piss out of a U14 player?
My son's a good little player, you wanker.
Playing competitive. That says enough.
You told me he wasn't.
What? You're such an idiot.
Don't worry.
He's a good little player, my son.
Not a chance his friends listen to this podcast, because no one that age has the attention span.
Well, he does, because the next time he sees him, he'd be like, hey, Uncle Craig, by the way, go fuck yourself.
No, there's no way that he has an attention span to go last this long. We could talk all about him now. Because he's nothing like you.
What are you talking about?
Well, you were like full of shit and vinegar at his age, and he didn't say much.
No,
he's very quiet.
He's pretty chill. But then when he opens up, he's got good banter, actually. He's actually quite funny. Takes a piss all the time.
We talked a little bit. He asked me who my favorite club was. I said Villa, and he went, how'd that happen? Why? you don't like football? Like, you don't want to enjoy winning? Hey. I said, who's your club? And he goes, City. And I went, well, they've been good since you were born. So, that's the Charmin effect, though, right?
Hey, do you know why he became a City fan?
Because he likes winning. Because,
no, my mom went back. She went back home. And she, I said, Ma, grab the kids a jersey. She's like, all right. And she's not going to get him a Celtic jersey, because I like Celtic. My old man loves Celtic. So she found, the only one she got was a City, because it was in what was it called? JD Sports?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she grabbed City jersey and gave it to Phoenix when he was like a kid. So in his school picture, when he was like 6 years old, he's got a Man City jersey on. So that was his team, where he goes, that's why I support City.
There you go.
But that, so that's how he became
that
a City
have, fan. That never would have been available to your mom if they were the old City. He would have never got that jersey.
Never in a million years.
United, Chelsea, Liverpool.
Yeah, 100%.
Arsenal. That's it.
Money's made the mainstream. Funny how that works, eh?
Yeah, Sharms is a million miles from Liverpool, and he's a Liverpool fan.
Yep.
International brand.
You grew up in an era when one team's dominant, and you haven't got a family persuasion.
Who was your local club?
Kent United.
Like, you know what? Probably the closest, like, top flight team was... Gillingham, Maidstone.
Yeah.
Top flight, that would have been Palace.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'd always get the train to London and pass Selhurst Park. But my old man wasn't a big footy fan, right? He isn't the rugby, so.
And Palace weren't that great back then either, were they?
They weren't great. No, that was the plastic pitch, I think, back then, wasn't it?
No.
Was it Luton?
Luton was
Luton.
Plastic.
Luton was plastic.
Luton, yeah. Oldham.
QPR.
Oldham.
QPR.
QPR, yeah. Mm.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't imagine that now.
Carpet on concrete.
Who was your rugby team?
I actually followed Harlequins a little bit. Gareth Rees played for Harlequins, Canadian legend.
Yeah, that's
right.
Your favorite darts team?
Eric Bristow was my favorite darts player.
Favorite snooker player?
Well, Steve Davis, obviously.
Favorite brand of underwear?
Favorite Latino bread company? Is it
Fruit of Loom?
Fruit of Loom, thank you. Fruit of Loom. All the big tight whiteies.
Okay, I'm getting sick of you guys.
We need to get out of this. This is going somewhere.
I gotta go eat.
Yeah.
The minute you talk about my underwear.
That's how you know the show's gone on too long. Well, at least we're not back until Tuesday. We can figure out what the fuck we're going to do for that show on Tuesday.
I need time away from you guys too much.
Hope you enjoyed this edition of Footy Prime, the podcast. Wonger, do you have a sign that you just held up?
No, I just didn't know if we were going to talk about FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Help us out. And North Star Bets. If you're going to do some wagering, use that as a platform. There's my little...
Hey, can I ask you something? Can I ask you, as a producer, why did you say, I didn't know if we're going to talk about it? You just spoke about it.
Wow.
You knew what you were going to do.
I knew what I was going to do, but I didn't know if we were going to finish it off big with our sponsors.
He had it handled.
Jimmy, he's a great producer. He could tell by my body language and knowing that I probably got something else to do, like to record an audition with my wife now that I'm late for, that I was going to put a bow on it. Newspapers see a buy. So it was just reading it well. So actually, that's your good producer trait there, Wong. Thank you for that.
He's good at his job. I'll give him that.
If you've not subscribed to, there'll be questions about how good I am at my job when people listen back to the show. And that's
good luck to your wife in Wicked Films there too.
Oh,
and the auditions.
Jeez. Yeah. This is the day of rest, and no one's getting rest today.
not Brendan. Or she'll have the earbuds in again with that.
Yeah.
101 ways to avoid sex.
I love it.
I have a job that makes you travel.
Brendan, I don't feel good tonight.
Yeah.
You've been saying that for a month, love.
We all get it. We all get it at some point. See, Charms? I'm sorry that we picked on you for being miserable, but I still lead the league in having the piss taken out of them. That's what makes the show great. And this is the end of the show. Thanks for listening. Bye, newspapers.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.